Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hockey Writers Podcast with me, Sebastian Noren, and a special guest, Marcy DeMichel.
Hi.
How's it going, Marcy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We don't have any snow here in Phoenix, so I'm happy.
Yeah, you're lucky. We don't have as much in Buffalo up here in Canada, but still this.
Yeah, Buffalo has had it rough, not just on the ice, but even the city itself.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So let's start with some of the general news here the last week. We saw that just earlier today, actually, that Jason Spezza and the Dallas Stars agreed on a contract extension worth $30 million. It's a four-year deal. And a cap hit of $7.5 million. Marcy, do you think Spezza is worth this kind of money?
Based on his recent play, I mean, I'm not sure. Dallas got him, you know, they were looking for some veteran help, you know, at center. And, you know, on paper, it was a good, you know, it was a good acquisition. But, I mean, he's got four goals so far, 18 points, not terrible. But, you know, Dallas is not doing good. Overall, I just feel like it's a pretty high cap hit for a player like him. But I mean, you know, that's also the market, you know, that we're dealing with. So I mean, I'm not really surprised. But I think I would say he's been slightly a bit of a disappointment. That whole team has been a disappointment. Put it all on him.
Yeah, I think they were looking for some more chemistry between him and Hemsky. I know Hemsky's had a really rough start to the year, so. Yeah, it is the market, but I still feel like it's a little bit overpaid for Spezza. But hopefully he can turn around and give Dallas the help that they so desperately need right now.
Yeah, it's true.
And then we saw Rene Bourque got traded to the Anaheim Ducks from Montreal in exchange for Brian Allen, the defenseman. And Bourque passed through waivers. He did a couple of games with Hamilton in the AHL. Scored a couple of goals. He did not score in 13 games for the Canadiens this season. Your take on Bourque and what he can provide to the Ducks?
Well, Bourque is... You know, he's got the skill. He's a big guy, but I mean, he just kind of disappears for very long stretches. He had a really good playoff run with the Habs last season, and I think they were kind of expecting him to carry that over to the regular season. But I don't know, he's just one of those players that he'll drive you crazy. And I don't think, I mean, apparently he wanted to be traded last year, so obviously he wasn't happy in Montreal, and I mean, you know, they were expecting more from him, but at the same time, you know, that's the kind of player he's always been, and I hope that the Ducks are, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're aware of that he's the kind of guy that he's a bit streaky. He'll have a good run, and then you won't hear from him, you know, for like long stretches at a time. I don't know, I'm not sure exactly where he's going to fit into the Ducks lineup. They said they needed help at their forward position. I mean, he's maybe a fresh start's going to help him out, but this is the kind of player he's always been. He's never been the kind of guy that provides consistent scoring. So I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what the Ducks are expecting, but I don't know. I hope they're not disappointed with him too.
Yeah, we'll see here where he fits in with the Ducks and who he will play with, because. You know, if you put him on, I don't know if he'll go right into a top line with Getzlaff and Perry, but we'll see. I mean, they got a lot of skilled players there in Anaheim, so I would expect him to do pretty well. But as you say, very streaky player, so we'll see how it works out there in California. And next up on our list here, Josh Harding, who missed the start of the season after kicking a door and fracturing his foot. He passed through waivers, and now he's been sent down to play with the Iowa Wild in the AHL. Harding had great numbers last year when he played. He, he had started 29 games, had a 1.65 goal against average, and a save percentage of 0.933. So what's your take on Harding? Will we ever see him back in the NHL?
You know what? Josh Harding, it's a tough story, because I think he's got he's got a lot of skill. I feel like every time, you know, he has, you know, runs of good health, he always plays well. But unfortunately, you know, he does have the health issues that are a reality. And I don't know if that kind of scares teams off a little bit. Because, I mean, pretty much every team now, I mean, they're carrying two goalies. Like, for them to pick him up off waivers, they'd have to drop somebody, and I don't know that anyone's prepared to take that risk right now on Harding. He certainly deserves to be in the NHL, but, you know, at the same time, I can understand teams being a little bit wary of taking him, because you just don't know what's going to happen with his MS. It's, you know, it's a shame. It's not his fault, and he's a good goalie, but it's just, you know, it's one of those unfortunate things that you wish wasn't the case, because he is a talented guy. But I mean, I could see him maybe for a team, you know, looking to pick someone extra for a playoff run, for someone for insurance or something. But I mean, I'm just not sure that we'd see him anytime soon back in the NHL.
Yeah, and I feel like he sort of screwed himself over there by, you know, kicking a door and injuring himself. I mean, that's not a good move. So we'll see. I mean, I would assume he's going to do well with Iowa in the AHL, and depending on how the Wild go forward here, you know, they might call him back up again. We'll see.
Yeah, that's true. They tend to have a lot of their goalies tend to get injured a lot, so I can see that happening. They might have to call him up.
Yeah, they have an aging, you know, Nicholas Backstrom, and we still don't really know where Kuemper stands. He's still pretty green, so
yeah,
there's definitely a chance for Harding to get picked back up to the Minnesota Wild. But as you say, the whole MS thing kind of, I can understand why teams would be, you know, sort of like, yeah, do we really want to take a chance on this guy? Yeah. Although I believe he's on his last year of his contract, so.
Yeah, it is low risk, I guess, if you look at it that way, yeah.
But still, and, you know, maybe you don't want a guy who kicked the door and fractured his foot. You never know.
That's true.
And then another piece of sad news, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins seems to have all kinds of trouble when it comes to their players, and Pascal Dupuis was placed on IR, and he had blood clots. And the Penguins, I mean, Olimata just had surgery. He had a cancerous growth on his, I believe it was his neck. They had troubles with Letang. I mean, the list just keeps all going on and on for the Penguins.
Yeah, and actually last year, Thomas Vokoun was out, you know, the whole year with a blood clot.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, it's kind of crazy the luck that they're having. Dupuis, you got to feel for him. He got hurt last year. He missed most of the season. You know, he came back. He was having a pretty decent start. And now this happens. And you know, you can't, you know, the doctors aren't saying for sure whether or not he's going to play again. We hope that he will. These things are always, you know, it's very sad, especially for a guy like Dupuis. He's a hardworking player. You know, he shows up every night. The Penguins say they're going to, you know, keep him around in some kind of capacity, maybe help with coaching. I'm not sure exactly. So, I mean, that'll be good for him to be around the team, but it's a loss for them because he's a veteran guy. He's a well-respected guy, well-liked. So I hope, you know, for his sake that he's able to overcome this and able to come back, because he's still got a few years left on his contract, and, you know, he could still play. So I'm hoping for his sake, you know, and the team's sake that he can come back.
Yeah, it's tough, especially when it's something that you can't really control as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good initiative of the Penguins, though, saying that they will keep him around, because you always hear about players who got, you know, regular injuries that, you know, while they're doing their rehab on their own, they sort of feel like a ghost and
exactly
stuff like that. I know, you know, Mattias Ölund had a lot to say about that he, you know, he just felt like a ghost rehabbing all by himself. And it's tough for those guys because, I mean, this is what they live for, and we wish Pascal all the best and hopefully he can come back from this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like we just have bad news to talk about today. So moving on to the big story of this week, Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Jack Johnson is bankrupt. Yeah. He filed for bankruptcy, and from what we've read, there was a great story in the Columbus Dispatch. They broke this story. His parents took out loans for in versus like future earnings. So you take out a loan against future earnings, and they had just crazy, you know, percentages to pay back on, and it went downhill from there.
Yeah, this story, it's pretty terrible. I mean, you know, if you can't trust your parents, who can you trust? And I think it really is a lesson for all players, young, old, no matter what. You know, I understand they just want to focus on hockey, and that's perfectly understandable. But at the same time, I think you know, you need to have at least somewhat of an understanding of where your money's going, what's happening with it. You don't want to just blindly, you know, put it in someone else's hands. Now, of course, in this case, it's so tragic because it was his parents. His agent used to be Pat Brisson, who is, he's Sidney Crosby's agent. He has a lot of high-profile clients, and he's, you know, he's a well-respected guy with a good track record. It's too bad to hear that, you know, he no longer has him as an agent, because I think sometimes it might be a good idea to find that person with that good track record that you hope you can trust. But I mean, this kind of makes you feel like, you know, he probably doesn't know who to trust anymore, which is the real tragedy. But you know, it is a lesson to be learned for younger players. You know, make sure you know what's happening with your money, no matter who is taking care of it. Like, you don't want to just hope for the best. You want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it's really sad. It's his parents who, you know, apparently have done this. And he wrote over financial control to his mother, which, you know, might not have been the best idea.
Yeah.
I mean, even if, you know, sure, it's your parent, but even then, you still need to know, you know, what's coming in and what's going out. And, you know, or at least hire a accountant.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you got to do something, because, I mean, Jack Johnson, he's earned more than $18 million so far during his career, not including what he's being paid this year, which is, I want to say it's about $5
million. Yeah.
And it's all gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's just, you hate to hear these things, because, like, you know, like we said, the worst part about all this is because it's his parents. It's not like it was some, you know, some agent. It wasn't, you know, some friend or something like that. I mean, the people that, you know, I suppose would be the closest to you. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he signed over all the power to his mother. I mean, even though it's your mother, you know, you still should have some kind of sense and some kind of control over your finances.
Yeah, because it says that they've taken out a bunch of these high-interest loans from, you know, some sketchy lenders.
Yes.
I would say. Yeah. And, you know, some of them was taken out even before his new contract kicked in.
Yeah.
So there was pretty much no way that was going to be paid on time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's. I think they even bought, like, I don't know, I believe it was a beach house or something like that. I mean, you know, I feel like, I wonder how much, like, did he know this was going on? I mean, I don't even know, but I'm not sure, you know?
Yeah, apparently they bought a house in Manhattan Beach where a lot of the Kings players lived, and Jack was playing for the Kings at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, started renovating, and they got cars, and from what we can read, from what came out in the story, Jack thought that they bought that house with money that came from a will of a deceased relative.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe he's just been blind to all of this. And when he's asked about it, his mom has just been like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, just concentrate on playing hockey.
Yeah.
So it's really sad, and I can't imagine, you know, having to, you know, face that reality that your parents really screwed you over.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure that he's probably like, you know, he's probably feels like, who can he turn to? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes things go wrong, you turn to your family, but when it's your family who's wronged you, that's a really rough spot to be. And I hope that, I mean, I would assume his teammates are really, you know, backing him up right now, because he certainly needs any support he can get.
Yeah, and it seems like the one, like, thing he bought for himself was a nice car.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. He's not. Yeah, it's true. He's not a flashy guy. So yeah, it's just a sad, sad story. And yeah. From what we read here, he has over 50. You know, someone said that it might be up to $15 million in debt.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wow.
So I mean, even though he's made all this money, he's pretty much broke. And you know, there's going to be a lot of legal things here now. There's going to be more money spent on attorneys and all that stuff. So, exactly. you know, the one good thing for Jack is that he still has a lot of years left and still has a chance to earn a good living and, you know, so he don't have to worry about retirement and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely true. He's young enough that, you know, he's still got a lot, you know, the potential for a lot more money ahead. So it's not, I suppose, it's not like he's like 38 and, you know what I mean, ready to retire. So yeah. It could be worse, I guess.
Yeah, but I think this is a red flag, though, for all the players in the league and, you know, all over pro sports. We've seen so many players just, you know, some players squander their money. They blow it on cars and houses and, you know, all that stuff. But this is definitely a warning sign that you need to, as a player, you need to take personal responsibility of your finances and at least look at who am I dealing with, who are my advisors, and just get a grasp of, you know, even though, yes, you're a professional athlete and you need to concentrate on your work, you still need to know what's going on with your money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, hopefully everything works out for Jack. And it's just a sad story that, you know, I would assume that his relationship with his parents is, you know, pretty much broken at this point.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to recover from. I mean, I don't, who knows? Yeah.
So, it's a sad, sad story. And we'll have to make sure that, I hope that the league sort of takes some action too and be like, you know, hey, or the NHLPA, that, you know, guys, look at who you're dealing with financially. Make sure, you know, you look at your finances.
Oh, absolutely. I would hope. I know that they have like these rookie symposiums where they kind of educate the players on their what to do with their money and all that kind of thing. So hopefully even more now, you know, have a heightened sense of education for these guys.
Yeah, because I mean, I can understand that, you know, you're a young kid, you get a bunch of money and you're like, okay, let's have some fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But in all honesty, too, I mean, you're only, you know, you're only in the league for a short amount of time. Not everyone plays until they're 38, 40, or,
yeah, exactly. You know,
in Chris Elliott's case, until he's 150. they got to just remember that, yes, this is a great time. I'm earning a lot of money, but this is a very short period of my life, and I need to make sure that I'm set up for what comes after.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So let's talk about something that's a little bit more positive, or in all Montreal Canadiens fans, very positive. The Habs, I mean, they're leading the league. 31 points in 21 games. I'm guessing that you have a pretty good knowledge about the Canadiens and how their season is progressing.
Yes, definitely. Living in Montreal, you get a heavy dose of Habs talk all the time. It's the city loves their team, and they should be very excited about what's happening now. Canadiens they're an interesting team because you look at their loss to the Penguins. I mean, they just got outplayed. They couldn't, you know, the Penguins set up, you know, a defensive structure. They couldn't break through, and they got shut out. But then they come back and beat the Blues, which is one of the better teams in the league. So, I mean, you know, the Canadiens, they're the type of team that they need their goalie. They need Carey Price to be playing well, because if you look at maybe the games that he wasn't quite on his game, you know, they had a little bit more trouble. They need him to be their best player. But there's definitely a sense of excitement over what's happening, because you look at last year, went to the conference finals, and I do believe they would have beaten the Rangers with Carey Price. I know a lot of people, you know, they're not sure, but I really do think that. Not that Tokarski didn't play well, but, you know, you change the way you play when you're not in front of Carey Price. And so I really think they would have gone to the Stanley Cup final if they were healthy. And, you know, they carried it over to this year. But at the same time, you look at their losses, and when they lost bad. And so they're not perfect in any way, but they are absolutely on the way up in terms of being one of the better teams in the league. They still have some issues they need to work out. I mean, sometimes you wonder on any given night where the scoring is going to come from. PK Subban has his ups and downs. He's had a bit of a few rough games this year, but obviously, I mean, you're confident in what they can do, because they've definitely proven that they're able to win. They're able to find ways to win, even if Carey Price isn't standing on his head.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from as far as last season and the playoffs. I feel it was, you know, it's really tough for Tokarski to, you know, be thrown into that situation. It's like, oh, you played how many games before this? Like five? Yeah. Oh, here you go. Here's a playoff run for you. So, yeah, I could see that the Montreal might have been able to squeeze out the Rangers there, but we'll see. I do agree with you there that Carey Price needs to be on his A game if Montreal is going to have any success come, you know, this year's playoffs. I think they're already pretty much a shoo-in, in my opinion, because I think they started the season so well. You know, Pierre Parenteau came in and looked like he's been with the team for a long time already. Yeah. Sort of tailed off a little, but, you know, you got some great players. I feel like one of the most underrated players, Tomas Plekanec, I mean, he's a really solid centerman.
Yes. Yeah, so. He's underrated. A lot of, because he's not a flashy guy, you know, he's not loud, you know, you don't really hear from him, but I mean, on faceoffs he's great. You know, he's got so much skill. If you ever watch him in a shootout, like, he's got, you know, really great moves. And another center who no one really talks about is Manny Malhotra, who just, I mean, he wins faceoffs, like, you know, it's so easy for him. And I think their strength down the middle is making a big difference for them right now, because obviously that's huge for the success of any team is your centerman. And yeah, you're right, Plekanec is huge for them right now.
So if you look ahead here, I mean, do you think that they could end up, you know, just winning, you know, President's Trophy and all that, or do you think they're going to tail off a little bit?
I think, because like I said, there have been some games where the offense has really dried up, and the thing with the Habs is you look at them and you say, who's that guy? Who is that one guy that, you know, he's going to be able to score for you, that you want on the ice at the end of the game, you know, to get that winning goal? I'm not sure who you can point to. Maybe it's Pacioretty. You know, Gallagher, you know, I felt he looked better last year than this year, but I mean, you know, he's still a good player. But I feel like maybe if they had that one guy, that really, like, great offensive guy, like they had Vanek last year, and I mean, he's having a terrible season, so I think they were right in not keeping him. But I feel like they need something else. I don't know what or how, but I feel like if they want to really take that step to the elite level and win the President's Trophy, I feel like they need something else. But, you know, you also look at the rest of the league, and you have some teams that, you know, we thought were going to be good, and they're not doing well. And I feel like it's the President's Trophy is there for the taking. I really believe that. I think they have just as good a shot as anybody at this point.
Do you think the Habs will perhaps make a move come trade deadline to try and bring in, like, a veteran scorer?
I think they should. You know, like they did with Vanek last year. And he played pretty well in the playoffs, so it's, and down the stretch. So I really think they should. I look at the team right now, and I don't think, as currently constructed, they could. I would say yes, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I think they need something else. I'm not saying, like, some kind of, like, massive blockbuster trade, but something, some kind of proven goal scorer to come in, you know, to be that guy to provide that offense for them. I think they definitely would need that for the playoffs.
Okay, well, we wish the Habs all the best. And yep. Going way down towards the bottom of the league, we find Columbus. And we've already talked a little bit about Jack Johnson, of course, and his team is really struggling. This is a team that many thought were, you know, sort of going to have a breakout year. Jarmo Kekalainen, the GM, is starting to put his fingerprint on this team, but they've just been so unlucky with injuries.
Yeah.
And but even though they've had a lot of injury problems, you know, they're the only team they're ahead of right now is the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, you know what? I look at three teams. I look at the Dallas Stars, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Columbus Blue Jackets as three teams who made the playoffs last year. They have a lot of young talent, and we all expected them to carry it on. But so far, it's been a bad season for all three. And Columbus in particular, I'm not worried. I think, you know what, they had success. They were really starting, you know, to show a lot. Like, you look at Ryan Johansson, and, you know, he had such a great year last year, and then contract issues this year. I'm not terribly surprised that they're struggling. I think that it takes time for young teams to find that consistency. Because, you know, like I said, those three teams, they had great years, and now look at them. They're really, really struggling. And I wouldn't worry. I think that there's still some work to be done on this roster, but at the same time, there's a lot of good pieces there, and I think this is just a little bit of a bump in the road. But I definitely would look at the Blue Jackets as a team on the rise. I don't know. I feel like maybe they might miss the playoffs this year, but I think they're definitely building towards the future here.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of interesting players. Johansson, I mean, he's been playing all right. I mean, he has 20 points in 18 games. You can't complain about that. But there's, you know, I feel like there's, like you said, there's something sort of missing, and it takes time, yes. But, you know, falling this far down, despite all the injuries, it's a major step back.
Yeah. It is a step back, and it's discouraging, because when you have such a great year, you know, you really want to kind of ride that high and continue into the following year. But I mean, you know what, the thing is, if you really look at this roster, I feel that they were a bit ahead of their time last year. I think that they overachieved. I don't think they're as bad as they are now, but I don't think they were as good as they were, you know, that team that made the playoffs last year. I think they're somewhere in between. I think they're still finding their identity. It is a bit of a disappointment. I thought they'd be a little better, but like I said, at the same time, I'm not surprised. With young teams, there's usually a learning curve. There's usually growing pains, and I think that I think if they continue to add the right pieces, things are definitely going to get better.
Yeah, and I mean, they started this season, you know, Johansson held out for a long time there, you know, missed pretty much the whole training camp and everything. That's, he still comes in and, you know, performs, but I think that if he would have had that extra time with the team, and I don't know, it might have affected them a little bit too, not having their best player there.
I think certainly, yeah.
And then, you know, you got the back problems for Nathan Horton. We don't even know if he's going to be able to come back.
Yeah,
they had injuries to Dubinsky, Lotesto. I'm just going down the list here. Golubov, Murray, Calvert, Fedotudin, Skill. I mean, it's tough for a team that's that young and isn't, you know, it's not like they have this incredible depth in the roster quite yet either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And you know what? We don't talk about Horton, but they were really counting on him when they signed him to be a big part of this team, veteran leader, you know, to kind of be, he's been there before, he's won a cup. And I think that him not only not being there, but his career being in jeopardy, those things affect the team more than you think. And then, of course, you know, the Jack Johnson situation. And I mean, there's just a lot of things that have kind of gone wrong in this early season for them. I hope they could, you know, somewhat find a way to turn it around. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things going against them. So it certainly hasn't been easy for a young team.
No, absolutely not. And I even failed to mention Boone Jenner missed out time too, so
yeah.
It's tough. And you know, like you said, Horton, he was supposed to be this, I mean, he was supposed to be on their first line.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, you know, from what we've read, it seems like, you know, in order for him to have sort of a normal life, he needs to pretty much put in steel rods in his back.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's sort of hoping for some kind of miracle here, but, you know, in all likeliness, his career is over.
Yeah. That's a real shame, because he's a good player.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you say that they're going to miss the playoffs this year. I totally agree with you. I feel like they've fallen too far behind already. There are too many teams to leapfrog at this point. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it feels like the season didn't start that long ago, but, you know, we're a fourth of the way in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. And even if, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, even if he stands on his head and get back to his, you know, to the form he had a couple of years ago, it's just not going to be enough.
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, you look at some of the teams, like let's look at the Islanders, for example, who are in a playoff spot. They weren't in the playoffs last year, you know what I mean? So it's like, you're talking about leapfrogging all the, you know, all the other teams, plus teams weren't in the playoffs last year. Just think it's going to be too much of a hill to climb for them. But, I mean, I suppose it's still possible. Anything's possible, right?
Yeah, if they go on a sick or tear here and win, you know, 10 in a row or something, then yeah, of course. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not often we see those types of runs. And everything would really have to click. I mean, Ryan Johansson would just have to become some form of beast.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like Columbus fans should be discouraged if they miss out on the playoffs this year. It's just that they sort of, I would say, you know, overperformed last year.
Yeah.
And this is sort of more, you know, where they're not supposed to be the second worst team in the league, not by any means. But, you know, it's a work in progress, and they're going to be a great team. Just give it some time. You know, we've talked in previous shows about the Colorado Avalanche and sort of how they just fell back down to earth after, you know, surprising everyone last year.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially if you're one of the fancy stats people, we heard a lot that, yeah, Colorado's going to fall back, and, you know, it looks like they were right. I feel like Columbus is in a better spot, and I don't think there's going to be the same amount of chaos surrounding the team as it is in Denver, where, you know, they're extremely passionate about their hockey team.
Oh, yeah, I think just, if you look at the way that the season went for the Avalanche, you know, with Patrick Roy being the coach, you know, there's just some attention given to them, so much hype over them. You know, they have McKinnon, the first overall pick, all of those things. It just makes expectations so much higher. And I think in Columbus, There were expectations, but they weren't, you know, they just weren't as high as they are in Colorado. And I think that it might buy the Blue Jackets a little bit more time, where you kind of look at the Blue Jackets, you say, well, you know, it's understandable. But the Avalanche, you're kind of like, wow, how are they this bad? You know, what happened? You know, they signed a Ginla. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? And but I mean, the injury to Varlamov doesn't help. Like, he hasn't really played much, and that doesn't help. But I mean, yeah, I think it's a bit of a different situation. They're both young teams, but I definitely think more was expected of the Avalanche this season.
Yeah, especially when they, you know, went and won the division. Even though that was partly because the Blues sort of fell off the at the end there, but it's fun to see how it changes from season to season. And, you know, some teams get hot at the right spot, and then, you know, they squeeze themselves into a playoff. Some teams go off the rails and lose 7 games in a row. I'm speaking about you, the Arizona Coyotes. so, you know, it's always fun to see, and that's part of the charm, too, that you can never be sure, especially not at this point at the season, like who's going to be a shoe-in and who's going to, you know, just crash and burn. Even though I'm saying that the Montreal Canadiens are a shoe-in right now.
No, but you're right. It's still early enough that things can change, and things can change pretty quickly. I mean, teams are like an injury away from completely falling off, or suddenly someone they get hot, or a team that's underachieving suddenly gets back on track. I mean, anything can happen. That's why it's exciting. That's why it's a long season.
Yeah, and so. I think that like you said, there are some teams that we expect a lot more from that might just be slow started, like a Chicago or San Jose. I mean, those are two teams that everyone was talking about maybe winning their division, and it's I feel like some teams that they have enough skill. It's just that maybe they don't have to go 100% through the regular season. I mean,
they're going to be there at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've seen with LA Kings. I mean, they just do enough to get into the playoffs, and then they sort of turn it on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's the show for this week. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, Marcy. And please let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter.
All right. My Twitter handle is Marcy, MarcyThw.
And you can find me at Seb Noren, that's SEBNOREN. And make sure to check out all the great articles at thehockeywriters.com. And like us on iTunes, leave a little review if you want to. And we'll talk to you again next week. Until then, have a good one.